It's time for the Warrior Way podcast, brought to you by Winona State Athletics and Layton Media, hosted by Liam Statz.
Welcome to another episode of the Warrior Way here, produced by the Fan Winona. My name is Liam Statz, your host, joined by Clayton Hawkins and Jack Funky from the Winona State Warriors baseball team. It's the first time we've had baseball student athletes on, so welcome in, guys. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. We actually interviewed Seth Wing a couple of episodes ago. High energy guy. Very high energy. What's it like playing for Coach?
He's always at the yard, I would say, working. Whether the field has some minor issues with it, he's always out there. He's a hard worker, always encouraging us. But yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, I would say it's just like he sets a standard in terms of like just putting in the work, and like he's always there showing us that like he's willing to do anything for us, and that's like pretty important for us, I would say.
Setting the standard.
Yeah.
It's what he seemed, you know, when we talked with him. He's always like, you know, they basically operate as you guys' own ground crew. So, you know, taking care of the field's a huge spot. And actually raises another question. You know, the city is kind of determining whether or not that there'll be a new Winona field. And so my question is, do you want to see a new WSU field, or do you like kind of playing down there next to the football stadium?
Me personally, I like the character of our field. It's just a little different than any in the conference. I do think a new playing surface would be nice.
So like turf.
Yeah, turf in it, I think, would be a necessity. But, I mean, out by the lake, you'd have the bluffs and everything, so I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Yeah, nice view of the background, stuff like that.
Yeah, I would say that I love Lauer Field. I like playing there. So,
yeah, like you said, it has character.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's too many. You guys have basically have kind of like a semi green monster out there in the field. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. But that's what he said when we were talking with Coach. New playing surface, you know, turf, especially here in the northern part of the country, is like, if you guys get out there and just kind of plow everything away and then get ready to go basically same day.
Yeah.
Plus.
Yeah.
Not have to worry about mud and don't have to pull tarp as much. Well, kind of taking a step back here, Clayton, you had kind of a weird route to Winona State. You played a couple of years here in the RCTC, Rochester Community and Technical College, before you transferred here for your final season. Kind of what went into that decision for you?
Yeah, so I had a little different route than Jack. I guess my 2 years at RCTC, they were great. And then I was looking to continue playing. And Wing, he offered, we played them in the fall, actually, when I was at RCTC. Winona came and played us. And I'd been pretty interested in going to Winona then, and then I played pretty well in that scrimmage, and Wing kind of offered me a spot on the roster, and I was more than excited to take that opportunity.
So. Yeah. So not every day you can kind of make that jump from JUCO right to Division II. So was that something you had always planned on, or were you kind of content to maybe finish out the collegiate career and at a junior college?
I'd always like kind of dreamed to keep playing. I knew that like there was a possibility that I wouldn't, but yeah, I think I always knew that I would keep playing. So
yeah, so just kind of things fell together for you. Right time, right place.
Yeah, everything fell together, and then it was definitely an adjustment when I got here to Division II baseball compared to D3 JUCO. It's you get a lot better arms, so that was quite the adjustment for the first few weeks, but.
Well, it seems like you had a pretty good time with the adjustment. 684 slugging percentage is not bad. Just under 500 on on-base percentage. It did say here, and I don't know why they included this, but in your stats it says 0-for-1 on stolen bases last season. So what happened in that? Do you remember it?
You know, honestly, I like to think of myself as a fast person, but I just, when it comes to base running and getting stolen bases, just I feel like it's just the times are never right when I'm on base to go try and steal a base.
Always,
you know what I mean?
The next gold glove winner behind the plate or something like that.
Yeah.
So. Well, Jack, a little bit different of a journey to Division II ball right out of high school, the team captain in high school, first team all conference. So did you commit right away to Winona State, or what kind of did that look like for you?
Yeah, so Pat Riley, the old coach, actually recruited me before when he was with Coach Polk before Wing got here. But so he had a connection through Iowa City, which is the area I'm from. And junior year, he came and watched me play. And I went on a visit with my dad. I came on another visit as well. I pretty much committed on the spot. The scenery felt right. I waited till the next day, so I wasn't, overexcited. But I was, it just, everything seemed great about it. the team just looked like they had such a fun time, and that's been nothing but true. And then when Wayne got the job, it was, he brought me in with open arms, even though I wasn't his recruit, and that's how it's been.
Nice. Yeah, no, the kind of, when I talk with student athletes, the overwhelming consensus seems to be that the visual aspect of Winona really can't get beat. Mm-hmm. No. So it does kind of seem like the coaches lean into that a little bit when they're on official recruiting visits and stuff. And I agree, you know, when it's nice summertime, especially when you guys start playing some real summer ball, all that stuff, it's a really nice spot to play in. So Winona, I mean, pretty much through high school, any reason that you've stuck around as much as you have, or?
I just think I've had such a great experience here. It really comes from the friends I've made here. I think that's why it makes it hard for me after college of, do I want to go home or do I want to stay up in this area? Because like Clayton, he'll be up here, but he's a pretty good buddy of mine. So it's like, which friends do I pick? It feels like at this point, but obviously I've just had a blast with my friends, and that's really what's been keeping me around.
I think that it's a decision of, no matter where you go, you got a support system, right? So that's kind of, it's one of those decisions where it's not like a worst of both worlds, it's a best of both worlds, right?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Well, if you guys want to talk about it, I know it's a sore subject for a lot of athletes, kind of thinking post-playing career, post-collegiate, you know, if you know, a playing career is something you guys want to pursue, what does that look like for you guys?
Well, for me, I think I run a little tent rental business in the summer, so that keeps me busy, but still kind of hunting for a job, a little undecided on what I'm going to do yet, but I'm graduating with a degree in finance, so I'm either going to pursue a career in sales or financial advising, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a clinical exercise science major, and for that curriculum, you're required to do a 600-hour internship just for field experience. And I'm doing that back in Cedar Rapids in cardiac rehab. And then I plan on sticking through cardiac rehab after.
Does that look like a master's program potentially, or is it a 4-year degree?
It's a 4-year degree. There is a master's program. I don't know if I'll pursue that or not, but at first I want to get my hands-on experience because I think that's where I'm going to learn a lot.
Fair. I mean, that's where my internship taught me a lot more about it than a classroom did. So yeah, I can definitely see that. But yeah, Clayton, you own K&M Tent Rental. We were going to get to that, but just kind of personal, like, is it just like a side hustle in the summer, or is it like a, you know, fully fledged kind of little business that you run?
I mean, it's a little bit of both. So I bought it from my grandpa this will be my third year running it. And yeah, so like, it's more of like a seasonal business, you know? So
yeah.
And then, it's hard to explain, I guess, to like, it just in words, but like graduation parties, weddings, stuff like that.
Oh, so like, you'd like, yeah, okay, so like event tents
yes,
and stuff
it's
like that.
Yes, it's event rental. So, yeah, it's not just like your camping tents that people come rent from me. But yeah, so what we do for that is like, people will call me and like, especially during the school year, it's a little bit of add-on stress, you know, just because, like, I got to manage that on top of school, practice, and then, you know, like, I'll get the phone calls during practice or class, and, like, I'm just like, I can't really answer this right now, so that's kind of a little stress in the back of my mind, but otherwise, I really enjoy doing that in the summer, and I get to do it with my family, and I get to hire my friends, too, so that's... That's pretty fun too. So
yeah, well, I'm glad you kind of clarified that, you know, because I think when people think tent rental, they think, you know, like summer camping and stuff like that. But no, that's really, really interesting. So is that something that you plan to keep running kind of in the foreseeable future, or when you pursue kind of another career?
Yeah. So honestly, that's like a little obstacle that I've been like trying to deal with and think about. I've obviously had a lot of conversations with my family, but just like I want to have a career as well. So. Like, I got to figure out what I want to do with the business. And I know my family can help with that. So,
yeah. Again, kind of like a best of both worlds, where if you focus on a career, I think people would be understanding of it. But if you decided to run that, also a pretty good decision to make. So, taking a look kind of at the season, tell me a little bit about how it's going. You know, I haven't really seen a whole lot, which is my own fault. You know, I've kind of just been out of the loop, which I apologize for, you know, not a good fan, I guess, but, just kind of tell me how the season's going.
It's been a lots of ups and downs. We have talent, we have the pitching, we have, We've struggled with the bats a bit, but I would say it's just inconsistent. Like such as yesterday, we won 20-8 or something like that. We hit the ball pretty well the first game, and then got shut out game two. And I just think it's controlling the highs of the highs and the lows of the low. And we're running our best when we're playing, having fun and playing loose. But we get into that mode where we press and try and be perfect rather than just letting the game come to us. So I think for the second half, it's going to be huge to just play our game, play our style. And then we know we're going to have to play good in the second half and we're ready for it. So it's exciting.
Yeah, I had your home opener a couple of games ago, I think. So hopefully the weather does not go back to crud. I know that this upcoming week, it's supposed to snow and sleet a couple of times. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we get in because frankly, it's a lot more fun to play baseball when it's like 70 degrees and sunny outside than it is to, you know, like a 50 degree game. I was covering a high school and if people are like, well, it's, you know, at least there isn't rain, but sure, but it's windy and 52.
Yeah. I'd rather be doing some of those games. Games just get so cold.
I think that's just playing baseball, though. And then, especially, I guess, in the Midwest, you know, them Southern kids have it so nice and they don't even realize it. But not a bad season. Kind of the second half, I think, is where you guys, you know, are looking to turn it around. Mm-hmm. And just focusing on the NSAC in general, what has the competition been like, you know, if you guys have been around it a little bit now?
I would say it's been similar, but there's definitely teams that are making leaps in the conference. I know Bemidji State's been bottom of the conference here in years past, but they're a different team this year. We ended up sweeping them, but they give more of a punch than they have in the past, I know.
You had a 3-run home run shot in one of those games.
I ran into one. It helped me get going. I'd been struggling a little bit, so that helped me get on a roll a little bit. So
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I've heard too from other teams that I've had in here is that, you know, the NSAC just kind of is one of those conferences where top to bottom, pretty good, you know? Yeah. So always good to see Bemidji, you know, make that step up a little bit. I know they had struggled with a couple of things just across the board in a lot of sports, but a couple quick questions for the NSAC. Number one, what is the worst drive to make from Winona to face somebody in the conference?
Ooh. I would say last year Crookston was not a fun drive, just knowing we were going up there and then it was going to be 30 degrees the whole time. But I guess we're supposed to go to Jamestown this weekend and that one's supposed to be even worse.
Oh boy.
That's getting moved too. What do you think, Jack?
I don't know. Luckily the far drives such as Minot, Mary, I haven't ever had to play there because the weather's never good there, but yeah, I think that Crookston drive was pretty brutal.
I used to live in Crookston. My first job right out of college was in Crookston. Loved it. I got out of there before the winter happened, which I'm just so happy that happened. So thankful for that. But it used to be a 9-hour drive back to my parents' place if I wanted to come see them, which is just, you know. At about hour 6, I think you start to hallucinate things on the road. So,
Well, I agree. That drive's not fun.
Yeah.
Not a lot to look at.
No. After a little bit, the trees start all looking the same. And the trees go away, and it's just fields. It's plains. Rivalry. Big rivalry inside the NSAC. What would you guys consider your biggest rival? Thinking a lot on this one, huh?
I mean, Cato.
Is it going to be Cato?
I just, you know, everyone hates Mankato. Nobody likes Mankato at Winona. I would say them are like baseball, especially. I think SMSU too is a good rivalry just because them are always real tight games and they mean a lot because they're usually in similar spots in the conference and in terms of standings. And them games are fun to play too.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say I didn't think of that. That's probably the best answer, at least from a baseball standpoint. I think there's more hatred from the Mankato side, but
just for Winona.
But, the SMSU games always get chirpy. They get intense. They're always pretty close. So,
what is chirping in baseball like? Yeah, I'm a hockey connoisseur, but you know, a lot of sports have trash talking and all that stuff. But when you guys are both in like dugouts and whatever, what is that kind of like to you?
I would say it's similar to hockey, just probably a little more like or like you, I would say just maybe a step back in terms of like being like personal with the chirps, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. We get to talk about staying on our own dugout a lot, like talking about our own selves. Cause some guys on our team like to let it fly, and we have a couple former hockey players. And so they still have that filter, which is no filter.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's, it really just depends on the team that you're playing, on how bad it gets and how everyone responds. So,
has the umpire ever had to, you know, wave the magic hand towards your dugout or whatever?
Plenty of times, yeah. Mm-hmm. Plenty.
Yeah. Have you guys ever been ejected? Like, you personally, have you ever been ejected from games, both high school, you know, and or in the collegiate?
No, I've been close a few times in town ball, but otherwise, no, not really.
I have never been ejected.
Oh, nice. You play town ball?
Yeah, I play in Plainview for the Bucks there.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it's really, I did not realize how much town ball there was, really, you know. My friend was like, yeah, I gotta go back for the summer, we need a couple umpires, do you want to maybe kind of, you make $40 kind of every Saturday night or whatever. I'm like, for what? He goes, well, I'm playing town ball. And then most of my friends who played on the club baseball team back in my college were like, yeah, it's just kind of what we do in the summer, is you just go home and you play town ball. So and then I kind of thought it was like a self-contained thing. No, it's just town ball leagues everywhere. It's crazy. I really just never realized that.
Yeah, Minnesota town ball is pretty cool, especially if you get closer to the cities. You know, the teams take it pretty serious, and they get pretty good crowds too. So they're even fun to go to, even if you're not playing. So.
Nice. Yeah. No, I know. I think there's a couple leagues or in towns here. I think Winona has it.
Yeah, Winona Chiefs.
Yeah, Chiefs. Yeah. So that'll be kind of interesting to see what they can do kind of in the summertime. But man, it's, just never something that I kind of really paid attention to or realized that was there, which I think kind of the overarching thing about sports is that there are leagues for sports everywhere. You know, if you look for them, you'll find them.
Mm-hmm. It's one thing I've always been jealous of, being from Iowa. The town ball's not as big there. And I come up here and everyone's talking about the state tournament for town ball and everyone's getting into it, but yeah, it's just, I've wanted to experience it. So,
what was playing high school baseball in Iowa like?
I mean, it's in the summer, so the weather was awesome. But then again, you didn't have your summer to yourself. But it was nice because.
So you guys don't play the spring; you like start in the summer.
If I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Iowa's the only state that plays in the summer for high school season.
As far as, I mean, Wisconsin never did. I don't think Minnesota did.
At least around the Midwest, because we were able to actually have our COVID season.
Really?
So it was a shortened season, but we were able to have that season just because we were in the summer as things were a little better than what they were.
Spread out a little bit. So, I guess you don't get your summer if you want to have like a summer job or anything like that. Yeah. But like, I feel like that's just kind of how it should be a little bit, you know. I think
it'd be nice to play in the summer up here.
Yeah.
No, high school games get cold.
We don't have to like cram things in before graduation or anything like that. So how does that work if you're a senior then? Do you play like...
If you're a senior, you just play, you graduate and you're still playing. So it almost helped with the graduation process, where it's like when you graduated, it didn't feel like a hard stop to everything. It just kind of felt like a gradual release and into whatever you wanted to do.
Yeah. Cause then when you wrap up, you're on the way to college.
Yep, exactly.
So it's actually a good way of looking at it. I feel like that almost should be the standard a little bit. Yeah. Like you said, it'd be nice to play in the summer and stuff like that, where you don't have to, you know, worry about like rain or snow or sleet as much. Yeah. Obviously.
Shove on the field the day before your game.
Or you wake up in the morning and it's all just mud. Where you forgot to put tarp out or something. And then it just at 2 in the morning dumps rain on you for whatever reason. So that's the beauty of living in the Midwest a little bit though, I think, is that you're never really sure what the weather's going to be like, but I think that's all the questions that I've got off the top of my head. Is there anything you guys kind of want to highlight about the season, about the field, anything like that?
Nothing specifically. We just, us as seniors, see all the work that our team's doing, all the work that our coaches are doing. So we hope to put it together for them and everyone. So we're looking forward to it, and hopefully we can make a good run at this.
Yeah. Make sure that crowds get out and support. I mean, it's a walkable spot, you know. Yeah. That's the thing, is that people could walk there if they wanted to. It's right on a nice little corner, right next to the park if they want to go see. So,
yeah, I would say just one more thing, just that, you know, we got a young team, so like a lot of these guys, you could get to know them a little bit, and like hopefully we can turn the corner and maybe like get something going for the program here for the next few years. So I guess maybe it's kind of an exciting time to be a part of. So
hoping to see it kind of in a better spot than when you first joined.
Yeah. It. Leave it better than we left it. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Perfect. So, perfect yeah. analogy kind of just in general for anything that you're a part of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks guys. I really appreciate that for coming on to this. I know that it could be a little nerve wracking a little bit, but you guys did great. So
yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having
yeah,
us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you for listening to the Warrior Way podcast, brought to you by Winona State Athletics and Layden Media. Tune in next time for more exciting WSU sports talk and news.